This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Reginald Datatula in for Kevin and Corey. But Mike Bassick,
yo,
the famous Mike Bassick Jr., still sitting next to me here at the Marriott in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard for the Dallas Card Show. Day two of 4 days here at the Dallas Card Show. We're having fun. Mike is, I mean, I think he's about chest deep in cards at this point. He's looking them up. He's researching them. He's running during breaks and looking. Are you having a blast right now? Is this your happy place?
Yeah, and what's great is that I'm already out here. I'd usually drive out here after the show is over, and we've done the show live here before here in Allen at the Marriott, but after the show's over, I get to see a whole bunch of people that I haven't seen in a while, say hello to, check out their tables, see what stuff is going on and how hot things are. I was just looking up, like, how hot are Jaylen Brown cards after winning Eastern Conference MVP, Finals MVP, and being an NBA champion for Boston? And I'll be honest, I'm surprised that they have not gone up more.
Yeah.
They've gone up a little bit. I'm not saying they haven't gone up, but I'm surprised that that didn't really shoot him up more than I thought it would.
And if you want to find some of those types of things out, this feels like the place to be. You said somewhere like 700 tables?
Yeah, about seven. There's multiple rooms. So if you've never been here, we'd love to see you. There's a huge room. You might walk by when you first park and go, oh, there's the huge room. That's the second room. That's not the big, big room. But there's a lot of great stuff in there. There's just so much to see. It's kind of like going to Six Flags in a way for me. If you're like a kid, like, all of these rides in only one day?
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm at today.
And that's
like,
why there isn't only one day.
There's till Sunday afternoon. But come on out today. Come say hi to us. And, you know, you want me to walk around with you some of the stuff and meet some people and get to know good people in this industry? Because, you know, there are some people that I've met in this industry that weren't that good.
I mean, I feel like that's any industry, but yeah, definitely finding the good ones is always, and seems like there's a lot of good ones here. It's also shout out Friday.
Okay.
From the 214, they want to shout out Nico Harris. I don't know why this Nico Harrison is the name that we're looking for.
I guess you got close.
Yeah, we're close enough. And, of course, he deserves that shout-out for always looking to improve the Mavs. And from the 817, they said they want to shout-out their son for completing Marine boot camp in San Diego. Salute to him, and thank him for his service, I guess, ultimately. Let's talk about these Texas Rangers because we are just barreling towards the trade deadline in the MLB, and we've talked a lot, I mean, for the last few weeks about will they be buyers, will they be sellers, and some of that is like on the record as, you know, where are they currently? They're playing 448 ball, I mean, clearly below 500, but when we were talking to Bruce Bochy on Wednesday, Mike, you asked him a particular question that I found to be interesting. You asked him if he had ever had to ask or talk to his general manager before, to maybe talk about maybe waiting to sell before the deadline, maybe buying his team more time. Alec, this is what Brochy said.
No, I haven't had that conversation. I'll tell you why, because I can tell you, see why. He's not one to say uncle and not believe that we can still get there. It's an insult for him. So anyway, and he has talked about that. You mentioned it to the club, and that's not, you know, on his mind at all, and it won't be unless something just drastically happens. you know, the rest of the way here. But I feel good about where we're at, how we're playing, and how we're throwing the ball. So, no, I would not do that.
And, Mike, it's good to know that this team, I mean, CY is very aggressive. Bochy, you know, also aggressive. However, like, as it's going, it's looking like it's harder and harder for this team to be able to climb themselves up in that place. And So maybe you go and you talk about how you've got some pitchers that are going to be free agents. Maybe it is, like, analytically and academically it would make sense to sell. But I think you had an interesting idea or point about maybe possibly the benefits of, you know, not selling just from a confidence standpoint, just from a positioning standpoint.
Yeah, and when I asked that question, Bochy took it specifically to this year. I was just wondering in his San Francisco years or possibly San Diego years, if he's like, I really believe in this team. I know our record isn't where it needs to be, or we're not where we want to be in the standings, but give this team the 2 more months or the 2.5 more months, and I really believe they're going to play well above 500 and make a run at this playoff thing. And then I was thinking about specifically on this team as Bochy took it specifically to Chris Young this year, specifically to the 2024 Texas Rangers, is I thought the Rangers needed to send a message in 2022 going into the 22 like offseason to get ready for 22.
Yeah.
They wanted to send a message, and they signed Semien, Seager, John Gray. Those are the three that come to mind. And then the next year they go out, and obviously they sign Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
And they sign Eovaldi. And they're working very hard to prove that, you know, a Will Smith at the time, you know, and he was a big player in last year's team for the first half of the season. They wanted to prove to agents and the players that we're not here to rebuild. We're not here to develop a team. We're here to win now.
Yeah.
And then I thought, gosh, if Chris Young were in a position where the team just doesn't look like they're going to compete for a playoff spot, it's July 25th and they're 10 games back and 8 games back of the two teams ahead of them, and they're still well below 500. If they sell players, as in Yates, for example, I'm sure tons of teams would love Kirby Yates right now in their bullpen as either their setup guy or their closer. Is he then signaling a message to agents and players, we're not really back into this winning thing. We won and we're out of the winning thing. We're into the selling thing and budget thing. And so I thought maybe the Rangers, the best thing that they could do is to not sell anybody on this team, even though from a standing standpoint and getting something back from a free agent standpoint, because Kirby Yates is a free agent, Robertson's a free agent, maybe you say, no, we're going to believe in this team till the end, and we're sending a message to current players and agents, we are still trying to win it all at all costs. We are not, I shouldn't say at all costs, but we're still trying to win it all, because obviously, there was a budget this offseason, but we're trying to win it all. We're not here to sell off because the first 4 months of the season have gone bad. And so I was like, maybe that's a message the Rangers are going to send to the free agent class of 2025 coming up is, hey, we're still players in this. We're not out of trying to win. Because if you do trade, let's just say the guy that I think you get the most for that is tradable is Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
He has a mutual option or some, you know,
something
like
if
he gets to 150 plus innings, I think he qualifies for this option, but I don't know if Eovaldi would even want that option picked up or not. Is teams would be like, we really want Eovaldi. A team you just recently played, like the Brewers, might go, we really want Eovaldi. Or maybe the Orioles, we really want Eovaldi. Teams that you've just recently played. And they would probably give you pretty good pieces for it. But maybe the Rangers are like, no, we do not want anybody believing, agents and players, that we're now into selling rather than they might not be buying, but they don't want to be considered like we're now a selling team and not a team competing for stuff.
And I think that you started to highlight this, but yeah, it's come to my mind that it could be easy, and I guess let me illustrate this by looking at the text line from the 682. They said, could they think that this year is a fluke or a hangover and keep the team for next year? And I think that that is something that you have to consider. Like, this has not been a team, unfortunately, of late that has been in, like, the winning mindset. Yeah. And it's they have not been in that place consistently. If you have that kind of recent culture, because I don't want to make it seem like this is a losing organization. I don't think it is. But over the last little bit of time, like, they had not been in that upswing of things. And I don't think that you necessarily want to then, like, I can easily see how selling would make people say, oh, okay, well, that was just the 1 year kind of fluke thing, yeah. Where you want to project confidence. And as you mentioned, like, this has been an organization that has projected confidence time and time again. They went and they started buying in a way that we actually had some you know, trepidation on. It was like, hey, yeah. are you putting cart before horse? And then they went and won a World Series and shut us up.
Yeah.
But, like, they projected confidence, and I imagine that that matters to them. The question that I then have is, how much does that matter? Because the things that we're talking about as considerations, they're not insignificant. They matter, right? Like, losing some of these free agents for nothing, that you don't want to have that asset drip. And then also, like, I mean, well, I'll let you talk on that. But, yeah, you don't want to lose some of those things. Those things matter. So, like, how do you balance those things with also continuing to project confidence in this team?
I think this is a really tough time for the Texas Rangers. They didn't think they would be in a situation where they would be 9 games under 500 with approximately a week to go until the All-Star break. And so I think that they have to consider a lot of different things here. And maybe they do consider, we are not selling any players. We do not want people to think that we are going into this mode. The other thing that I would need to know, if I was Chris Young, that I would want to know from Ray Davis and the ownership group, yeah. Can I, if Evaldi hits free agency, can I get him back at any yeah. cost? I don't know if they're going to want Max Scherzer back or not. He's a free agent. But, like, hey, can I try to bring that? If Max Scherzer stays healthy and keeps pitching the way that he can I get him on a 1 or 2 year deal to bring him back? Because we do not have, right now, Chris Young realistically cannot look at the farm system and say, in AAA, I have 2 or 3 really quality guys in their young 20s pitching well in AAA to take their positions in the rotation. You do have John Gray under 1 more year. DeGrom hopefully is fully healthy for 2025 season. Same thing for Malley, who's under a 2-year deal. Dunning, I don't know what they think of Dunning, like, long-term as a starter reliever. I think they like him in their organization.
Yeah.
I know they like him in their organization, but what is his role in 2025? Cody Bradford, did 3 games make you believe that he's a starter for the next 5 or 6 years,
right.
Or was that enough? And hopefully he comes back and is able to keep proving what he did early on in the year. But if I have no money to spend in the offseason to bring Yates back, to bring Robertson back,
right.
To possibly bring Leclerc back. Leclerc has not been consistent enough to be like, we need him back. I'd like him back, but he hasn't been consistent enough to know, like, he's a guy right now. Is I would just look at it and go, man, I need to know a lot before July 30th if I'm Chris Young from my ownership group, so I know which direction I need to look in the next 3 years. We hear about this. Nico Harrison just talked about, for the next 3 years, I think I have a championship team, a championship caliber team. And that's what I've built this team for the next 3-year run, or at least 2 more years in this run. And so I'm looking at the Rangers going, yeah, if they believe there's another run, they're going to have to spend a lot of money in this offseason, because they're going to have to retain players. And then you have to look at the team and go, if we don't make the playoffs this year, or if we play under 500 for a season, I have to add to this team. I can't bring back a team that went under 500 and say, don't worry, everything's going to be fine in 2025.
And oddly enough, like, I do wonder how much, you know, the monetary portions of this, because, I mean, the regional sports network deal still factors into all of this. Like, if you are not certain on the ability to spend going forward, it almost means that if you want to have continued success and, like, rebuild a farm system that you have utilized to get to this place, it might behoove you to, you know, be sellers, get those guys in so that you can stay in a place where you're an elevated team, even if there's a half step back for a moment, so you can continue to contend. Because one thing that would definitely get you in a place where you're not contending is depleting your farm system.
Conversation today. I get that we have more conversation to go, as in, what's going to happen in July, August, and September will dictate a lot of what Chris Young feels like and what they're going to do in the offseason. But as of today, I'm looking at it, and there's 3 weeks left until the trade deadline. Bruce Bochy said, hey, we're going for it. But then after we had that conversation, they lost their next 2 games again and lost another series. And I'm not saying now they're sellers today. They're not. But it's going to be interesting how Chris Young sees this. And then what he wants to put out into the baseball world to agents and players, that we are still trying to compete for a championship, even in 2024 and then in 2025. There's going to be a lot of budget things that we're going to figure out and what they can bring back if they want to make another run at it in 25.
It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan, talking to you live from the Dallas Card Show out here in Allen. It's a shout-out Friday where thank you, the very kind, to the 214 that said shout-out to you, Reggie, for doing a hell of a job while Corey and Kevin are out. And you know I love my Mikey B. Shout-out to Tolo Coop. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. Keep it locked here and come out actually and visit us out here at the Dallas Card Show. But coming up next, we will enter the expressway. We'll do a little Mike Likes It, but also we'll talk to our friend Nick Eatman at DallasCowboys.com. That comes up next on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
That's right. It is the Expressway. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. Reginald Dattatula in for Kevin and Corey. Of course, Mike Bassett still here with you, as always, at the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard. Come out and say what's up. It's the Marriott. We're hanging out. It is really starting to hustle and bustle in here. I can only imagine what it looks like once we get into the evening and once the weekend kicks off. All of that still going on Saturday, Sunday. All sorts of folks going to be out here. Ian Kinsler, Bob Lilly, Kevin Mensch. I thought Rocket Ismail, who I did not mention, they're all going to be here at various points during the course of this weekend, available for photo ops and signings. And so
I was going through random cards, and I found two Rocket Ismail rookie cards when he was with the Raiders. And I was like, I might bring those out tomorrow and get them signed by Rocket.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You should definitely do that. And you listening, you should definitely do that. Again, Dallas Car Show here in Allen.
Really quick shout out.
Yes.
Tolo, if you're watching on YouTube, they know that my first ever favorite player in basketball was Dell Ellis for the Mavericks, and this is a Dell Ellis autographed Nuggets card that they gave me.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I think I have a couple Dell Ellis autographed cards. I've never met him. I've wanted to interview him.
Okay, yeah. See, we got to work on that then. Okay, that's going to be in the next of the Mavericks series. We've gotten to talk to a lot of really cool former Mavs on this program, and we get to talk to a lot of great people around the Cowboys on this program as well. Today, no different, as just happened to be hanging out here at the Dallas Card Show and ran up on a fellow card enthusiast, Nick Eatman at DallasCowboys.com. Nick, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
what have you sold so far?
What have we sold? Well, we sold. We just sold some Bo Jackson cards.
Okay.
Oh, good thing Kevin's not here. He thinks Bo Jackson is overrated.
Well, I mean, he's not. Well, who's rating? You know, like what's the rating?
Apparently
I always think that's funny. But about overrated, underrated. But yeah, if you just want like freak of nature football / basketball or baseball players, because it's funny. Like when you're trying to put them in. Where does Bo Jackson go? Does he go on our football set? Does he go on the baseball? He could go anywhere he wanted to, really. But no, we've sold some stuff, sold some Torrey Aikman rookies today. I'm trying to think of some others. I mean, like, it's funny because I'm doing this show. This is the first time I've ever done a show. I'm not really a vendor. Like, mm-hmm. we're just here to sell our collection. I say we, me and my dad and my brother. And we sold an error card. That it was. I've never seen it. We've seen error cards, but I'm talking about split right down the middle. Two different guys. So I don't know who was cutting these cards, but it was right down the middle. Two different guys, and you just never see it. There's a guy that offered me $5 for it. We're like, fine, do it. You know, it's just funny. You never know what people are gonna. You know, the first card that I sold yesterday was an autographed Tony Gwynn.
Oh,
autographed Tony Gwynn card, and it was like, you know, hey, people love. You know, the cards like that, and you never know what they're going to get. That's why I can't wait for the general admission to come in, because you don't know what they're going to, what their favorite player. You know, like, perfect example. Who's your favorite player? Like, I'm expecting Mahomes and Aaron Judge, but somebody like a Mike Bazick is going to tell you Dale Ellis. And
yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, crap, do I have a Dale Ellis?
All right, so before we get going even deeper on this conversation, because I would like to explore more of your, sure. your fascination with cards, Mike, you're still holding on to some cards that RJ Duke brought for us. Do you want to open
it while you guys are having a Cowboys or NFL conversation, and then I'll show it on YouTube.
Cowboys.
Okay, well.
Or whatever, Twitch, July. You know, it's everything.
What's going on, Cowboys?
Well, yeah, okay, let's talk about the news of the day. I don't know if you've heard this, but Dak has been spotted out on his vacation, and he happens to be wearing a boot. And the question that we've been asking is, like, how concerned should we be about this?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been a lot of reporting that has gone in a lot of different areas, it feels like. But ultimately, the conclusion for a lot of people has been it'll be fine once training camp comes, when the actual time for him to get on the gridiron happens. Should we be concerned about this? That's a guy who's had a number of issues, particularly with that foot.
Yeah, I think that you don't ever like to see a walking boot on your quarterback like that.
I wouldn't
get concerned until we get to Oxnard. You see it where football fans and us that cover the team, when if we see Dak in a walking boot, he's missing time, then I think that's one thing. But I don't know. I don't think it's too early, mm-hmm. honestly, to be concerned about anything.
I have a random question because you're around the Cowboys a lot. Does he randomly just wear a boot every once in a while?
No.
I didn't know if, like, you know, you kind of see him walking to a meeting and he just has a boot on just to.
No, but I'll tell you this, and I might have told some of you guys this before, like, My history with walking boots, and knock on wood, I've never actually worn one, but that's the kiss of death right there. No, but I'll never forget Jason Witten in a Monday. It was probably like 2011 or 12. Jason Witten had two walking boots on a Monday before the Thanksgiving Day game. And he hadn't missed a game like in 10 years at that point. And it was like he has two high ankle sprains, left and right, and he's in a walking boot on Monday. And I'm like, well, he's not playing.
Right.
He's not going to play. No, he played. He had 8 catches, 112 yards or whatever, and played. And so my thought right there was, okay, there's different reasons for it.
Sure.
You know, you're swelling here and there. Let's just get it down, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I don't like to dismiss the starting quarterback with any kind of injury, but at the same time, I've seen that play out before. I doubt it's going to be a serious thing.
I have a Cowboys question based off of Dak.
Okay.
I think the running game looks below average at best, mm-hmm. like on a piece of paper. Maybe it'll be better than I think. But it just seems like if you don't have a running game, that throws off Dak's offense pretty – like it changes the offense.
Yeah.
Do you see it being better than what I see it on a piece of paper?
I start in the trenches there.
Yeah.
Because I think if you fix that offensive line – and that's what kind of worries me a little bit. It's just that you're counting on the center. Is it Beebe? Is it Hoffman? Whoever it is, Bass. Somebody's got to be better than Biotish, you know, and then they're banking on that. They're banking on Tyler Guyton being ready to play, and he's not going to be better than Tyron Smith, but can he be better than Chuma? He better be. I mean, he better be. If not, then I think we're all going to see some issues there. But I think the way that they run the football starts at the offensive line. If they get that offensive line fixed, then I do think Zeke and Rico and, you know, those guys will be able to kind of carry the load. But you're right, Mike. In the playoffs, that's where you have to run it. The game changes. Yeah. It's just like any sport. I think basketball, I think hockey, I think things change in the playoffs. It definitely changes in baseball just because of rotations and all
for
that.
Sure.
And I know I'm not talking baseball in front of Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm just saying, playoffs for football is the same. You have to run it. You have to stop it. And Green Bay exploited them for both areas, and that's why they blew them out. And they were the better team that day.
Along those lines with the offensive line, I mean, obviously, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Guyton, we haven't seen them a lot. We've seen them kind of mini camp, but
yeah,
this training camp is when we'll see them. Brock Hoffman continues to be an interesting thing because everybody talks about him as though he is a real viability at center here. Like, can you give us a better impression of, like, what is it that makes folks keep bringing him up as – or I mean, what is it that, you know, fascinates this coaching staff?
Well, no discredit to him as an NFL player, because he certainly is. But if he wasn't doing that and there was really good money in it, he'd be wearing one of those black shirts that say staff on the back outside of a club. Him and TJ Bass could do that. And they would kick people's ass.
Yeah.
Like and I say that because that's how he plays football. He's a brawler.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that he can't make it. Tell him that they're going to start Beebe over him and just see what happens. I think Hoffman's got something to him. That he only played two games. One of them against the Cardinals, they got a lot of yards, but they couldn't run it down in there, and that's why they lost. And then the Washington game at the end of the year, they put up a lot of yards. Of course, that's Washington. Payne and I think Allen were both out. So hard to tell. Just that two of their top five games in offensive output, he started. Small sample size, but it's something.
Do you expect Ezekiel Elliott to play one snap in the preseason?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't think so. What does he need to do? I mean, like, he's don't put any more hits on him. I mean, he knows how to play. He knows what to do. And I think the way they're going to use him, I don't think they want to do any of that. There's enough running backs that just want to see. I want to see Rico Dowdle. I've kind of seen him. I think you need to see more Deuce. How about play Deuce in the first half of games?
Yeah.
Because they played him in the second half of games against guys that probably didn't make NFL rosters, and he looked pretty good. But once guys got faster, bigger, stronger, he wasn't the same.
And they also didn't give him a lot once guys got faster, bigger, and stronger.
Yeah, I mean,
really quick, and then they really put him on the shelf.
I think he got enough reps to be like, I don't know if he's ready for this.
Okay.
But in the preseason, let's start him out of a game. We'll see what he can do. I mean, Snoop Connor, I think's got something to see. Malik Davis has been there. You know, there are guys. To answer your question, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I've changed my tune. I changed my tune in 2016 in Seattle. I changed my tune on what I see in the preseason. Because when Romo got crunched over like that in that game, I'm just like, this is worth it? Like, was it, you know? Now, it changed the whole course of the franchise.
Right.
That comes in and all that. But I just, for running backs like that, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I think it's weird because I agree with you and disagree with you because I agree with, like, hey, at this point. But then you let him go going, I don't think he has much left. You bring him back going, hey, you know, watch this.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know if Zeke has anything left. And I don't know if there's anything. This is where I'm with you on this. I don't know if there's anything to prove. If he goes out and has 8 carries in preseason game 2 for 80 yards, I don't think, well, Zeke 2016 is
right,
back.
Right, right.
So then, but then you kind of want to know, like, after 2 weeks into the season, I guess we'll have a good idea if Zeke can be a guy who carries the ball
right
15 times a game, or you're like, hey, he literally can't. He's just a blocking back at this point.
Yeah. You know, the fact that they're your commissioner of the league is even saying he doesn't really like preseason games, and they eventually we'll get down to 2 preseason games and 18, I think, regular season games. They're saying right then and there that you know these games don't matter as much, and they don't matter as much to veterans. That's one thing that I hate is when the veterans come in and say, we don't want any preseason games. There's been guys on the NFLPA, players like that, which I think is short-sighted, because it's like, tell this a rookie, you know, John, who's our Nathan Thomas from the 7th round pick, Louisiana, tell him that we don't need preseason games. That's why what Terrence Steele did in 2020 was amazing. He made the team as an undrafted free agent, started, and didn't play any preseason games because of COVID. So preseason games matter, but I don't think they matter for – I mean, I don't think it would change your opinion if he had 4 carries for 9 yards or 4 carries for 50 yards. You'd be like, you know, cool, who's blocking for him? That's a big thing, you know. But I'll say this, not to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but if they're going to say these 5 linemen, Zach Martin, the whoever the center is, Tyler Smith, we're going to play them a series, then I could see maybe your starter a little bit, just because let's see what this offense might look like.
We're talking to Nick Eatman here at the Dallas Card Show on the KNC Masterpiece. And, I mean, we're 3 weeks out basically from training camp getting going in Oxnard. Just as an overall, overarching perspective, what are you most excited for, whether on the field or off, of headed into Oxnard?
Well, I mean, for me, what am I most excited about going to Oxnard? I mean, it's definitely the weather. It's always the weather, okay? That's why I said that, you know, now today is actually pretty nice.
Yeah, but it's working out all right.
No, but I obviously, it's just you want to see how they've gotten better. And it's real easy to look at it and go, well, did they? And they lost a lot of players. Did they add a lot? I think for me, I want to see, because I know him, and I've been here when I first started. Zimmer was the defensive, you know, backs coach. I want to see what Zimmer's defense is, and I want to see how Eric Kendricks kind of comes in here. I think Eric Kendricks is like the new, you know, Brandon Cooks. I think he's the new guy that knows the system, knows things. They're going to lean on the new guy because he's still the veteran linebacker that knows this system, and I think he has a chance to kind of really help them. I want to see, obviously, want to see what Micah Parsons does with this defense, you know, what Zimmer does with Micah. I think this is getting overblown a little bit about not speaking and talking. Micah hasn't been here, you know. Micah hasn't been here, but he will be. It's not going to be that hard. Hey, you know, Micah, rush the quarterback.
Right.
Get to the guy and bring him down. And preferably do it all year long, you know, not just at the end of at the first of the season. We need some sacks in December.
Do you think the Cowboys players find it weird that we're talking like face to face? I know we're on public air right now, but it seems like they only do their conversations through podcast and through tweeting what they would like to have a conversation about.
Right, because I'm
going to
tweet at you later, Mike, and just say, yeah, why didn't you ask me this? Instead of just ask in front of us.
That was the most fun thing I think the whole offseason for me was that Micah got upset that he went on a podcast because he was upset that he has a podcast. He's like, I wish you would have just called me. And I'm like, I don't think you should be tweeting that. I think you should actually just call him himself.
Yeah.
I guess it was weird.
Yeah, and Malik could have come back and said, well, I did try to call you, but you were on a podcast.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that is weird. Honestly, the tweeting that people like that tweet each other when you know they have each other's cell phone, like I know that's old school, but I still think that's kind of strange.
It's very performative, ain't it?
Well, right. It's just like, what are you really trying to say, and who are you trying to see this? At the end of the day, the whole podcast stuff, it's like, you know, just go make a play. I mean, honestly, just go do your job for Micah, and I think everybody understands that. But let's be honest. I mean, some of the stuff, I mean, do you have to interview the quarterback that just beat you bad?
Yeah.
And then ask him kind of how he did it? I mean, that one was a little weird. So that whole thing is interesting. Hopefully, you know, Micah kind of learns from some of that stuff a little bit. But, you know, he is who he is, and he's a great player. Like, he really is a great player. And so I think of, like, people think of that podcast stuff. I think of the Seattle game, 4th and 6, and Geno Smith is driving, and they have a chance to beat you. And it's 4th and 6, and he looks up, and then all of a sudden Micah Parsons is right in his face.
Yeah.
He throws it into the ground. The game's over. What kind of stat is that? A pressure? Cool, but he just won the game.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing about Micah that I still think is a difference maker. I do believe he'll, you know, think about when you were 21, 22, 23. Just think, I still think he's going to mature to the point where he's going to be I think he's a dynamic player right now, but I think he'll be even better.
Nick, what are we looking to sell?
Today?
Yes, sir. And this, I mean, you're here for the weekend, correct?
I'm here for the weekend. You know, we have an interesting collection. It's me and my dad. You know, when I see a 10-year-old with his dad walking around, and it reminds me of me when I was in Joplin, Missouri, which was a big town. When you lived in a small Oklahoma town like we did, Joplin, Missouri, you know, Springfield, Missouri, Tulsa, oh my God, big towns. But anyways, we would go to shows like that, and we would buy cards in the late 80s and in some early 90s. And so just look at the today, we're actually, you know, this weekend we're selling most of our collection. You know, I don't think it's going to be a fire sale on Sunday, but we've got a wide range of stuff. You know, we've got some vintage cards. We've got some newer stuff too. You know, Mahomes, Ohtani, stuff like that. But we also have in Luka. We got some Lukas, but we have some, you know, late 80s McGuire. We have Jordan. I have a Jordan second year card.
Oh.
That you know. Don't ask me about the Jordan rookie that I decided to sell. Had it.
You're hoping that one makes it past the weekend.
I had the whole.
Oh no.
The Jordan rookie. 86, 87. Yeah. I had it. I sold it for $1,000 about 10 years ago, ungraded. But I would have gotten it graded, and it would have been probably a 6. Did have a little dot on it, but it would have probably been a 6 range. But still, that would have been more than $1,000. That makes me hurt. But the whole collection started because of the same type of thing. My dad, when I was 10 years old, came across a Beckett. And saw some Mickey Mantles and hear what they're selling for, and he had them all, and he gave them his mom gave them to the kid down the street when he went to college.
Mm.
So he was going through all of that, like had that card, had 5 of those, had 4 of those, you know, and so that kind of got us going, got him going back into the collection, and we've done this together, and the time is now to see what we can get. So we're not really like the straight vendors. I said this is our first show, probably our last, but. We got a lot of stuff. I'm selling books, the Cowboys book that I wrote. I'm selling some of those. We got some memorabilia. We got all kinds of stuff.
Well, so. Best of luck in doing that. Right. I hope you have a blast this weekend, as it seems like a lot of people are, and we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
Appreciate it. Love to talk Cowboys. It's going to be here. It's here before you know it. You guys are going to Oxnard?
Mike will.
I'm not.
You're not.
I have a Rangers right. responsibility.
I forgot about
so
that.
With
so
my new
the answer
job,
is that no at this
I have,
point.
Yeah, but KNC will be there.
That's
everybody
right.
Literally everybody will be there doing the show.
Doing their stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Rodas will be there the whole time as well.
Oh,
so
I know.
We keep it locked here.
He's let me know he's going to be there.
The
you're doing some
time.
Stuff with us, too. I think,
yes.
Like in the second part of it.
Yeah, he's not coming back when the station comes back. He's staying out there until literally the Cowboys are done with Oxnard. He's not done with Oxnard.
Nice.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you spending a little time with us. Enjoy and keep selling those cars.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Mike likes it.
Time for a little Mike likes it.
Okay, so I'm going to go into a Mike likes it first, and I mentioned this, but let's just get a little bit more into it. Wyatt Langford is carrying his June into July. He was just named Rookie of the Month in the month of June for the American League. Now, yesterday, the Rangers only score 1 run. But Langford has the RBI, and he had 2 great defensive plays. So talking to him, I remember just a month ago, he played center field, and Eric Nadell asked him as he was getting ready for batting practice, he said, hey, how much center field did you play at the University of Florida? And Wyatt goes, like a few games. And he's like, really, with your athleticism? He goes, I've only played out. This is only my 3rd year in my life to play outfield.
Right.
Like, he was a catcher out of high school and going to University of Florida. He was a catcher. He's only played, and he didn't play his freshman year. He was not good enough to be on Florida's team as a freshman and play. So I think he got in, like, 4 or 5 games, and they transitioned him to, like, hey, we want you to be an outfielder. So then he goes off to summer ball, plays great. He's an awesome sophomore, great junior, 4th overall pick. And so this is his 3rd year to play outfield. Yesterday, I believe it was the 3rd inning. It might have been the 4th, but he makes a great play at the wall. It might have not been a home run, but he leaps and makes a great play at the wall. There's a big, great photo of him, like, hitting the wall with the UTA sign in the background. And they're like, UTA should be the backdrop. Like, that should be somehow how UTA promotes their baseball program
Gotta
or UTA's college. And then he makes another play, which was an outstanding play. I thought Dave Valley did a great job of explaining this. He charges the ball so hard from left field that he makes it such a short throw. Langford has an average outfield arm. It's not a premium outfield arm. It's an average outfield arm. But he charges it so hard, he makes it a shorter throw and aggressively came up on it. I thought for sure he was going to be safe. I'm like, oh, well, should we be throwing this ball to Homer? But he charged it so hard, gets rid of it quickly. Perfect one-hop throw to Kisner catching yesterday and gets the guy out. Langford is turning into a member that this is only his third year in the outfield.
Right.
And he is improving at such a high rate. His offense was very slow in April and May, to be nice. It turned around to player of or rookie of the month in the American League.
That's right. It feels so good to hear that.
And so he is continuing this in the month of July with overall play. Because when we look at players of the month in any way, rookie or player, we only look at their offensive stats. We're not looking at what they're doing defensively.
Right.
But defensively, he's getting way better. Offensively, he has been getting better, and that's continuing. So one of the positives through this June and July, which overall for the Rangers has been a negative, is Wyatt Langford is improving tremendously. And so my Mike Likes It conversation is Wyatt Langford looks like he's proving himself to be a really good left fielder. I guess now my Mike Likes It question is if Evan Carter comes back this year, and I think he will, I think it'll be well past the All-Star break. It's only a guess. I really don't know. I'm guessing, let's just say it's August 1st. I'm throwing out a guesstimate date and have no clue on that date. But okay. I have to throw it out as a broadcaster, I wouldn't do this on the game.
Sure.
I could never say, hey, let's guesstimate when these guys are coming back.
Yeah, that's speculation. You're not supposed to do it.
Sports Talk Radio, we can speculate. Let's just speculate it's August 1st. Wyatt Langford is playing a great left field. He's rookie of the month again. He's back-to-back rookie of the month in the American League being a left fielder. What do you do with Evan Carter?
I think he might end up in a center field platoon, right? Like center field, you're already kind of in that place where you brought up Derek Hill to find some juice there. And, I mean, he produced, thankfully. Okay. But I think you're in that place where you're already like, hey, somebody needs to grab it. And I would love to be like, hey, Evan Carter, center field is yours. But as we know, like when he gets up against the lefty, that's been problematic. And so I think that.
So you're saying he platoons with Derek Hill or he platoons with Leody Taveras? Because Leody, they don't want hitting anymore against left-handed pitching.
That's true as well.
So if like you're like, Leody, you're not playing. If there's a left-handed starting pitcher, Leody, you don't play anymore until like that person gets taken out and maybe you come in for defensive purposes or maybe a pinch hitting situation.
I thought I had a great answer,
but
you're
really
right.
Platoon
you're right.
Him with Leody because they've determined this year in 2024, Leody is a switch hitter who's not doing well from the right side.
Yeah, that is really tough. And look, Wyatt Langford is producing in such a way, and I mean, again, knock on wood that like it remains this and it does not go back into a place where he's having a little bit of issues. Hopefully, that was simply just the circumstances there. But like, yeah, I don't know that you want to take him out of the lineup at all to have Carter in a platoon with him there at left field. So I mean, it feels like and. I think that's what he came up. That's what he learned by trade, center field for Evan Carter. That's what he played in the minors. That seems like that could be the future of it. If you can find that bat to be comfortable, that'd be great. But I know that Leody, they had some trust in him, but it feels like that has waned a little bit. It feels like they might be moving away from Leody as the center fielder, the everyday center fielder.
Yeah, so I'm leaning your way is that when Evan Carter comes back, he's your everyday center fielder. Sure, you give them off days against lefties here and there. In fact, it matters where they're at in the standings. If they're still 10 games under 500 and it's August 1st, I'm playing Evan Carter against everybody. The only way he's going to get better against left-handers is to hit against them. And if you're kind of like not pushing for a playoff spot, what better time to be like, you're literally playing against every lefty. We're going to give you, even if your numbers are really bad and your numbers overall for the season are really bad against lefties, I don't care. The only way you're going to get better against lefties is hitting against all these major league left-handed pitchers. So in a way, I think that the future is the way Langford has played left field is that when Evan Carter comes back, Evan Carter is your everyday center fielder who gets time off against some lefties if you're in a playoff race. And Wyatt Langford's your everyday left fielder. And then he would, you know, if he needs a day off here and there, he needs a day off here and there. But, yeah, that would push, I think, Leody out of your everyday lineup, and he would be your backup defensive outfielder. He would be a pinch runner in situations that you need a pinch runner.
I mean, how odd is it, just going back to the team construction in general, that you have this many outfielders pretty consistently involved? Because, I mean, how many? What, 5, 6 is what we're looking at here that are frequently getting, with Travis Jankowski also being involved in the mix.
I mean, Robbie Grossman's kind of an outfielder, not really anymore. They use him as just primarily DH pinch hitter. But yeah,
I think that that's added to the difficulty of trying to find the place for these guys in theory in this hypothetical we're setting up.
Yeah, and so it's just one, a very big positive. Wyatt Langford's turning into an everyday left fielder and a good defensive player. And then the question is when Evan Carter comes back, he was playing left field in your playoff run to the championship. I don't think left field's available anymore. So now you have to look at Evan Carter as your spot on the team center field. And I do think Evan Carter has a lot more potential than, let's say, Derek Hill and, let's say, Leody Taveras. I'm not taking anything away from Leody. He's a championship center fielder. But that's just the direction I'm going. The other Mike likes it is this. There are a lot of people who, I guess, not a lot, I still think it's a minority. I don't get on that text line.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that were not happy with Klay Thompson becoming a Dallas Maverick. Dallas Maverick fans. So I guess here's my question, Reggie, to push the conversation. Buddy Hield just signed with the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Or, sorry, traded to the Golden State Warriors. So they decided Buddy Hield, not over Klay Thompson, but they decided their replacement for Klay Thompson is somewhat Buddy Hield. Maverick fans, would you rather have Buddy Hield over Klay Thompson? And you can kind of answer that and then give me your opinion why or why not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like Klay Thompson at this point is probably still a really good look because of, like, I mean, a high level volume, still getting that high percentage is what I was looking for, percentage of three-point shooting. Buddy Hield has been an incredible three-point shooter. I think that the differentiator is Buddy Hield has never been looked at as a defender. And I think the question that has come up, and I think the people that have had some doubt when it comes to Klay Thompson has been like, what does the defense still look like? Because as I think we mentioned and you mentioned on the show earlier this week, the three-point shooting is one of the last things to go with a player.
They last a long time. They get to play into their late 30s because of their shooting ability.
But that defense is what degrades. But, I mean, at the very least, you're starting with a guy who has been very good at defense relatively recently. And so the question isn't like, what are we going to do when he can't play defense? The idea is, what does the defense still look like? What can we still wring out of him defensively? And I think that's a better option than, hey, now we have to figure out how to play this guy because you have Luka, you have Kyrie, you have these guys that you already have to consider when you're doing defensive figurings. Adding a third guy to that you have to figure out what to do defensively, I think would be too much to ask.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think it's close. I would much rather have Klay Thompson over the next 2 to 3 years than Buddy Hield, and I've always liked Buddy Hield. Nice player. He lives in the Metroplex.
Huge three-point shooter. I mean, I think that he's one of the top guys active in the league right now.
Career 40% three-point shooter last year. Shot 38.9%.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same percentage as Klay Thompson. But I look at Buddy Hield, and his best year of his career offensively from points per game was 20.7 in 2018-2019.
What team was he on?
Sacramento.
And that they were maybe a solid team, but they didn't
make the playoffs. Yeah. And so I look at the last few years in Indiana and then in Philadelphia, he averaged 16.8 in 22-23. Last year, he averaged 12 for Indiana, 12.2 for Philadelphia. And when you look at what Klay Thompson's done the last 2 years, to me, it's really not close. Golden State had to find a replacement after Klay Thompson decided, I'm not playing for you guys anymore.
After they swung out multiple times.
If you don't like Klay Thompson, I'm just asking, do you think Golden State got better by adding Buddy Hield and getting rid of Klay Thompson? And not getting rid is not the right word, but replacing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they did. I think they got worse. I think the Mavericks got better. And if you said the Mavericks have Buddy Hield, I'd be excited about that. I'd be happy about that as a player coming off the bench as a three-point shooter. But I think Klay Thompson is a better player overall than Buddy Hield still today. And there's not a huge age difference. I thought there would be more.
Right.
Buddy Hield's 31 and Klay Thompson's 34.
Right.
So it's not a huge age difference, but there is an age difference.
Right. And I think 972 here on the text line highlights something that I think is additional in this. Klay Thompson.
80s and in some early 90s. And so just look at today, we're actually, you know, this weekend we're selling most of our collection. You know, I don't think it's going to be a fire sale on Sunday, but We've got a wide range of stuff. We got some vintage cards. We got some newer stuff too. Mahomes, Ohtani, stuff like that. But we also have in Luka. We got some Lukas. But we have some, late '80s McGuire. We have Jordan. I have a Jordan second year card.
Oh.
That don't tell me. Don't ask me about the Jordan rookie that I decided to sell. Had it.
You're hoping that one makes it past the weekend.
I had the whole.
Oh no.
The Jordan rookie. 86, 87. Yeah. I had it. I sold it for $1,000 about 10 years ago, ungraded. But I would have gotten it graded, and it would have been probably a 6. Did have a little dot on it, but it would have probably been a 6 range. But still, that would have been more than $1,000. That makes me hurt. But the whole collection started because of the same type of thing. My dad, when I was 10 years old, came across a Beckett. And saw some Mickey Mantles and hear what they're selling for, and he had them all, and he gave them his mom gave them to the kid down the street when he went to college.
Mm.
So he was going through all of that, like had that card, had 5 of those, had 4 of those, and so that kind of got us going, got him going back into the collection, and we've done this together, and the time is now to see what we can get. So we're not really like the straight vendors. I said this is our first show, probably our last, but. We got a lot of stuff. I'm selling books, the Cowboys book that I wrote. I'm selling some of those. We got some memorabilia. We got all kinds of stuff.
Well, best of luck in doing that. I hope you have a blast this weekend, as it seems like a lot of people are, and we appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time.
Appreciate it. Love to talk Cowboys. It's going to be here. It's here before you know it. You guys are going to Oxnard?
Mike will.
I'm not.
You're not.
I have a Rangers responsibility.
I forgot about that.
So my new
the answer is
job,
then no at this point.
Yeah, but KNC will be there. Everybody literally everybody will be there doing the show.
Doing their stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Rodas will be there the whole time as well.
Oh,
so
I know.
We keep it locked here.
He's let me know he's going to be there. You're doing some stuff with us, too, I think,
yes.
Like in the second part of it.
Yeah, he's not coming back when the station comes back. He's staying out there until literally the Cowboys are done with Oxnard. He's not done with Oxnard.
Nice.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you spending a little time with us. Enjoy and keep selling those cars.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Mike likes it.
Time for a little Mike likes it.
So I'm going to go into a Mike likes it first, and I mentioned this, but let's just get a little bit more into it. Wyatt Langford is carrying his June into July. He was just named Rookie of the Month in the month of June for the American League. Now, yesterday, the Rangers only score 1 run. But Langford has the RBI, and he had 2 great defensive plays. So talking to him, I remember just a month ago, he played center field, and Eric Nadell asked him as he was getting ready for batting practice, he said, hey, how much center field did you play at the University of Florida? And Wyatt goes, like a few games. And he's like, really, with your athleticism? He goes, I've only played out. This is only my 3rd year in my life to play outfield.
Right.
Like, he was a catcher out of high school and going to University of Florida. He was a catcher. He's only played, and he didn't play his freshman year. He was not good enough to be on Florida's team as a freshman and play. So I think he got in like 4 or 5 games, and they transitioned him to like, hey, we want you to be an outfielder. So then he goes off to summer ball, plays great. He's an awesome sophomore, great junior, 4th overall pick. And so this is his 3rd year to play outfield. Yesterday, I believe it was the 3rd inning. It might have been the 4th, but he makes a great play at the wall. It might have not been a home run, but he leaps and makes a great play at the wall. There's a big, great photo of him, like, hitting the wall with the UTA sign in the background. And they're like, UTA should be the backdrop. Like, that should be somehow how UTA promotes their baseball program
or
UTA's college. And then he makes another play, which was an outstanding play. I thought Dave Valley did a great job of explaining this. He charges the ball so hard from left field that he makes it such a short throw. Langford has an average outfield arm. It's not a premium outfield arm. It's an average outfield arm. But he charges it so hard, he makes it a shorter throw and aggressively came up on it. I thought for sure he was going to be safe. I'm like, oh, well, should we be throwing this ball to home? But he charged it so hard, gets rid of it quickly. Perfect one-hop throw to Kisner catching yesterday and gets the guy out. Langford is turning into a member that this is only his 3rd year in the outfield.
Right.
And he is improving at such a high rate. His offense was very slow in April and May, to be nice. it turned around to player of or rookie of the month in the American League.
That's right. It feels so good to hear that.
And so he is continuing this in the month of July with overall play. Because when we look at players of the month in any way, rookie or player, we only look at their offensive stats. We're not looking at what they're doing defensively.
Right.
But defensively, he's getting way better. Offensively, he has been getting better, and that's continuing. So one of the positives through this June and July, which overall for the Rangers has been a negative, is Wyatt Langford is improving tremendously. And so my Mike Likes It conversation is Wyatt Langford looks like he's proving himself to be a really good left fielder. I guess now my Mike Likes It question is if Evan Carter comes back this year, and I think he will, I think it'll be well past the All-Star break. It's only a guess. I really don't know. I'm guessing, let's just say it's August 1st. I'm throwing out a guesstimate date and have no clue on that date. But okay. I have to throw it out as a broadcaster, I wouldn't do this on the game.
Sure.
I could never say, hey, let's guesstimate when these guys are coming back.
Yeah, that's speculation. You're not supposed to do it.
Sports Talk Radio, we can speculate. Let's just speculate it's August 1st. Wyatt Langford is playing a great left field. He's rookie of the month again. He's back-to-back rookie of the month in the American League being a left fielder. What do you do with Evan Carter?
I think he might end up in a center field platoon, right? Like center field, you're already kind of in that place where you brought up Derek Hill to find some juice there. And, I mean, he produced, thankfully. Okay. But I think you're in that place where you're already like, hey, somebody needs to grab it. And I would love to be like, hey, Evan Carter, center field is yours. But as we know, like when he gets up against the lefty, that's been problematic. And so I think that.
So you're saying he platoons with Derek Hill or he platoons with Leody Taveras? Because Leody, they don't want hitting anymore against left-handed pitching.
That's true as well.
So if like you're like, Leody, you're not playing. If there's a left-handed starting pitcher, Leody, you don't play anymore until like that person gets taken out and maybe you come in for defensive purposes or maybe a pinch hitting situation.
I thought I had a great answer,
you can't
but you're
really
right.
Platoon
no, you're
him right. with Leody because they've determined this year in 2024, Leody is a switch hitter who's not doing well from the right side.
Yeah, that is really tough. And look, Wyatt Langford is producing in such a way, and I mean, again, knock on wood that like it remains this and it does not go back into a place where he's having a little bit of issues. Hopefully, that was simply just the circumstances there. But like, yeah, I don't know that you want to take him out of the lineup at all to have Carter in a platoon with him there at left field. So I mean, it feels like and. I think that's what he came up. That's what he learned by trade, center field for Evan Carter. That's what he played in the minors. That seems like that could be the future of it. If you can find that bat to be comfortable, that'd be great. But I know that Leody, they had some trust in him, but it feels like that has waned a little bit. It feels like they might be moving away from Leody as the center fielder, the everyday center fielder.
Yeah, so I'm leaning your way is that when Evan Carter comes back, he's your everyday center fielder. Sure, you give them off days against lefties here and there. In fact, it matters where they're at in the standings. If they're still 10 games under 500 and it's August 1st, I'm playing Evan Carter against everybody. The only way he's going to get better against left-handers is to hit against them. And if you're kind of like not pushing for a playoff spot, what better time to be like, you're literally playing against every lefty. We're going to give you, even if your numbers are really bad and your numbers overall for the season are really bad against lefties, I don't care. The only way you're going to get better against lefties is hitting against all these major league left-handed pitchers. So in a way, I think that the future is the way Langford has played left field is that when Evan Carter comes back, Evan Carter is your everyday center fielder who gets time off against some lefties if you're in a playoff race, and Wyatt Langford's your everyday left fielder. And then he would, you know, if he needs a day off here and there, he needs a day off here and there. But, yeah, that would push, I think, Leody out of your everyday lineup, and he would be your backup defensive outfielder. He would be a pinch runner in situations that you need a pinch runner.
I mean, how odd is it, just going back to the team construction in general, that you have this many outfielders pretty consistently involved? Because, I mean, how many? What, 5, 6 is what we're looking at here that are frequently getting – with Travis Jankowski also being involved in the mix.
I mean, Robbie Grossman's kind of an outfielder. Not really anymore. They use him as just primarily DH pinch hitter. But, yeah.
I think that's added to the difficulty of trying to find the place for these guys in theory in this hypothetical we're setting up.
Yeah, and so it's just, one, a very big positive. Wyatt Langford's turning into an everyday left fielder and a good defensive player. And then The question is when Evan Carter comes back, he was playing left field in your playoff run to the championship. I don't think left field's available anymore. So now you have to look at Evan Carter as your spot on the team center field. And I do think Evan Carter has a lot more potential than, let's say, Derek Hill and, let's say, Leody Taveras. I'm not taking anything away from Leody. He's a championship center fielder. But that's just the direction I'm going. The other Mike likes it is this. There are a lot of people who, I guess, not a lot, I still think it's a minority. I don't get on that text line.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that were not happy with Klay Thompson becoming a Dallas Maverick. Dallas Maverick fan. So I guess here's my question, yeah. Reggie, to push the conversation. Buddy Hield just signed with the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Or, sorry, traded to the Golden State Warriors. So they decided Buddy Hield, not over Klay Thompson, but they decided their replacement for Klay Thompson is somewhat Buddy Hield. Maverick fans, would you rather have Buddy Hield over Klay Thompson? And you can kind of answer that and then give me your opinion why or why not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like Klay Thompson at this point is probably still a really good look because of, like, I mean, a high level volume, still getting that high percentage of three-point shooting. Buddy Hield has been an incredible three-point shooter. I think that the differentiator is Buddy Hield has never been looked at as a defender. And I think the question that has come up, and I think the people that have had some doubt when it comes to Klay Thompson has been like, what does the defense still look like? Because as I think we mentioned and you mentioned on the show earlier this week, the three-point shooting is one of the last things to go with a player.
They last a long time. They get to play into their late 30s because of their shooting ability.
But that defense is what degrades. But, I mean, at the very least, you're starting with a guy who has been very good at defense relatively recently. And so the question isn't like, what are we going to do when he can't play defense? The idea is, what does the defense still look like? What can we still wring out of him defensively? And I think that's a better option than, hey, now we have to figure out how to play this guy because you have Luka, you have Kyrie, you have these guys that you already have to consider when you're doing defensive figurings. Adding a third guy to that you have to figure out what to do defensively, I think would be too much to ask.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think it's close. I would much rather have Klay Thompson over the next 2 to 3 years than Buddy Hield. And I've always liked Buddy Hield. Nice player. He lives in the Metroplex.
Huge three-point shooter. I mean, I think that he's like one of the top guys active in the league right now.
Career 40% three-point shooter last year. Shot 38.9%.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same percentage as Klay Thompson. But I look at Buddy Hield, and his best year of his career offensively from points per game was 20.7 in 2018-2019.
What team was he on?
Sacramento.
And that they were maybe a solid team, but they didn't
make the playoffs. Yeah. And so I look at the last few years in Indiana and then in Philadelphia, he averaged 16.8 in 22-23. Last year, he averaged 12 for Indiana, 12.2 for Philadelphia. And when you look at what Klay Thompson's done the last 2 years, to me, it's really not close. Golden State had to find a replacement after Klay Thompson decided, I'm not playing for you guys anymore.
After they swung
but
out multiple
if you don't
times.
Like Klay Thompson, I'm just asking, do you think Golden State got better by adding Buddy Hield and getting rid of Klay Thompson? And not getting rid's not the right word, but replacing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they did. I think they got worse. I think the Mavericks got better. And if you said the Mavericks have Buddy Hield, I'd be excited about that. I'd be happy about that as a player coming off the bench as a three-point shooter. But I think Klay Thompson is a better player overall than Buddy Hield still today. And there's not a huge age difference. I thought there would be more.
Right.
Buddy Hield's 31 and Klay Thompson's 34.
Right.
So it's not a huge age difference, but there is an age difference.
Right. And I think 972 here on the text line highlights something that I think is additional in this. Klay Thompson has championship pedigree and leadership that's needed. Still better defense probably. And I think that institutional knowledge of like being a consistent playoff team and knowing, hey, this is what's necessary. I think that is added because now Markieff Morris goes, and I know it's weird to have to talk about him as a leader, but he was a leader guy on this team. Him and Kyrie were leader guys. I think Klay Thompson has the opportunity to come in and add to that kind of leadership council. And of course, Luka has to be part of that, but I think Klay Thompson has the opportunity to come in and give you some of that as well. So there you go.
That's Mike Likes It.
Appreciate you, Mike.
We're at the Dallas Card Show here in
LA. That's exactly where we are. Absolutely. Come and say hi to us. But one more hour of the actual program to go. And coming up next, we got Alec Medford, so we're going to do a little AM on the FM.
Yeah, we got the question of the day. Plus, we are 2 weeks away from NCAA 25. This might be the best sports game of all time. We're going to talk about it next here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.